Today's workshop is Engage to Disengage. Speaker is Mr. Calvin Jerome. Mr. Calvin Jerome is a high school teacher in York Region and is currently serving at Richmond Hill Christian Community Church in the English Ministry. He has served in the youth ministry as worship coach, junior high fellowship counselor, and camp leader.
What we're going to do today, we're just going to talk about, basically I have quite a bit of data that I've taken from teens and adults from in and around this area, and we're just going to dissect some of them and look through some of the issues that they find are issues to them, and ways that we can move on and take action and go home and make it better for our kids. So let's start. Okay, so I'm going to have a little disclaimer here, just in case I say something wrong, that you don't chase after the wrong people, you just come look for me if I say something wrong that you don't agree with. Okay, and all the data that I've taken are from a variety of churches in the GTA and don't reflect on any part of any specific organization or church. There are about 130 students that were surveyed, and some data taken only from grades 10 to 12, and 85% of the students surveyed indicated that they have a genuine personal relationship with God. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at the data, and that there might be a little bit of errors here and there. So again, these are just stats. They don't really mean a lot unless we take into the consideration of the analysis as well. So can everybody hear me okay? All right, so I'm going to start off with an activity. If you're not sitting with somebody, I would suggest you can turn around if you need to talk. But here are three subjects that I've put up here. And the question is, where do you think they are now? So, subject A in high school was a gamer, plays a lot of ball, thinks he's a loser, no real close friends, the marks range between 50s to 80s, doesn't pay attention in class, studied commerce at McMaster University and failed his first year. Okay, subject B, oh, and if you know who these people are, don't yell it out. I really want to try to keep it anonymous. Subject B is good high school student, good group of friends, gets A's, best subjects were science and SAP, so that's sociology, anthropology, and psychology, studied biology and con ed at Queens. And our last subject, subject C, terrible student in high school, got a range of A to Fs. Best subjects for French and music. He or she stopped trying when friends were good at math and science, and he was, no, that's a he. And he's got too much pressure, that's why he stopped trying and took York University sociology and also failed first year. So I'll give you guys a few minutes. You guys can talk out. What do you think subject A, B, and C are? Okay, go. Where do you think they are now? So these people have all gone past. They're all working. Or not.
Can you turn me up a little bit on the mic?
Okay. Okay. So, any ideas who, what subject A turned out to be? Business related. Business. So, like, I've heard like somebody talk about owning a business. Okay, we'll think about that one. Subject B, what do you guys think subject B turned into? You just yell out the answer. Doesn't matter. Professional, so like some sort of profession. A little bit of hints there already. Subject C?
Social worker.
Social worker. Here's the answer, okay? Subject A is an economist for the Ontario Ministry of Finance. He switched majors to political science. So he was doing commerce, but he actually failed his first year and switched his major. He feels successful now because he achieved goals, strive to be a better person and a Christian each day. Subject B was, what was subject B? So, Queens Con Ed turned out to be an elementary school teacher with York Region. Had trouble in third and fourth year university due to pressure to do well. Feels successful now because she made adjustments to studies and did what she wanted. And the last one turned out to be a pastor. He finished sociology. You know what? You're pretty close. Finished sociology after appeals because he failed his first year, had to appeal to get back in. Went to seminary after he graduated, obtained master's, and in process of a doctorate right now. And he feels that he is successful as he is where God wants him to be and at the right place academically. Let's do this part two. Let's see what you can do second time. Subject X, Y, and Z. Subject X, high school was horrible, didn't fit in. B to C's average. Best subject was dependent on who the teacher was. Studied nutrition at Guelph and started looking into campus fellowship as she went into university. Subject Y, high school was uneventful, introverted, and he also got B's and C's. Not a book type of learner. Parents try to get marks up by tutoring. And subject Z, went to high school and felt pressure to fit in, attended parties, a lot of alcohol, pressure to be successful at all costs, stepping over people for gains, studied accounting at U of T. I'll give you guys a few minutes to chat. Okay, any ideas on subject X? Any guesses? Just yell at him if you know, or if you think you know. Subject X? Who was that?
A chef.
A chef? Who knows? Good guess, though. I mean, these hints are not too detailed, so you really don't know. Subject Y, any ideas? Subject Y. So, not a book type of learner. Parents try to get marks up. Not really telling you much there. Okay. And subject Z, some people guessed accountant.
Finance Minister of Canada.
Finance Minister. I only have one of those, and I already used them up. All right, so here's the answer. Subject X, worked as a pharmaceutical research associate, later followed God's calling to become a pastor. At her local church, she's successful because she went to follow God, and she left money, benefits, and all the perks behind, and she's gone where God wants her to go. Subject Y was the not the book type of learner, transmission rebuilder. He graduated from Centennial College for auto mechanics. Parents really wanted to go to university, but they eventually felt that college was the better way to go. He felt successful as he has supports from his family and friends to go to do what he wanted to do and listen to God on what God wanted to do. And finally, subject Z is a corporate finance for Hudson's Bay Company. Parents prayed and advised him as much as they could. Parents texted him daily scriptures, and he felt that was one of the most important things to him as he looked back. He feels successful as he's striving to be more balanced and build meaningful relationships at church with friends and at work to share God's love with other people. So really, there is no way of knowing what we become or what your children will become when they're in high school. Okay? But we're going to take a look at that as we go on. Okay, so this is what we're going to look at. Okay, if you want to follow along the slides, that's cool too. I think it's on there, page one. So we're going to talk about what does success mean, what are the biblical standards. We're going to talk about academic, social life, spiritual life, and we're going to one of the most important things I find are what other graduates think, because you could get to look at how they think about their journey as they went on. So high school is a combination of spiritual, social, emotional, and academic components. These components are in order of importance. Without spiritual, social, and emotional components, the academic component will not not be useful. Right? And we're going to touch a little bit more upon that just in a little bit. Okay? So I'll talk about myself a little bit first. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah. So next one after that. So I've been raised here, Richmond Hill, since I was a little kid. I've gone through all the TCs and stuff, SNAs, so I know what this is all about. I've actually never heard of this before. I always just been upstairs. I've taught for 4 years. I did 1 year of practice teaching, so that would be my fifth, but that we don't really need to count that. Youth worship coach for 2 years, junior high fellowship counselor for 5, children's Sunday school for 1, summer camp coach, summer daycare helper, and I was a TC captain back in 2003, long time ago. So let's take a look at what success is. Success is, by the dictionary, it means that 1, the fact of getting or achieving wealth, respect, or fame. Or the second one is the correct or desired result of an attempt. So this is what the dictionary tells us success means. But in what context are we looking at? Okay, so we got to think about that for our children here. What do we think of when we talk about academic success? So this is something that we have a lot to talk about, actually. This is what we're going to be basically talking about. Oh, too far. Okay, so the first one, Asian stereotypes. I pretty much did everything for the Asians here because we are all Asians. But there are a lot of stereotypes. What are some of the stereotypes that you've heard of about Asian and what their academic successes need to be?
We're the smartest people on earth.
Oh, hey. No doubt. that's a great stereotype that I've heard. Any other ones? Well, I'm sure you guys know a lot more. You guys just don't want to say anything. What's that?
Quiet.
Quiet? Yeah, well, it feels like you guys are quiet right now. anything else?
Diligent.
Diligent? Yeah. Yep, diligent. So, a lot of stereotypes because we're going to talk about academic courses only. That's a pretty big Asian stereotype. Straight A's. The Asian six-pack. Anybody heard of that before?
No.
Okay, so the Asian six-pack is the grade 12 year where you need to take physics, chemistry, and biology, grade 12. And if you can, take the AP ones. And then also there's 3 maths. I think it's calculus, discrete mathematics, and
data management.
Okay, so that's if you can take all of those APs, you're at the next level for the Asian six-pack. Okay, if you've heard of anything like AP, IB, or French immersion, you pretty much know the Asian stereotypes. University bound is a big one, and my kid will be a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer is another big one. Now, character success, though, which we're also gonna look into, is in the York Region District School Board Character Matters document. These are the 10 attributes that are emphasized for character success. So, if a student can achieve everything here, then the board would deem this student successful in their character, and that's what we try to work for each student to have. Each and every single one of these attributes from the time they come in grade 9 to high school, or they come into elementary school, that's where they start. But for me, they come into high school grade 9 and they leave in grade 12 for an extra year and they leave with this, then we would call that a successful approach for the teachers. Now let's look at some biblical standards of success. So as David said to Solomon, and observe what the Lord your God requires, walk in obedience to him, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the laws of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. 1 Kings 2-3. So as David is pretty much giving the reins and kind of just talking to Solomon about what he needs to do is to live by God's standards. And we'll, in our last part, we're going to talk about spiritual life as well. Now, here's an illustration on what parenting the difficulties get into, because there's three different struggles that we have. Okay, so there's what God wants, what do you as parents want, and what do the kids want, and we need to balance that. Okay. So, at certain times and at certain days, you might be leaning towards one and not to the other two, or you may be going into two of those and not to the other, but it's all about balancing, and that is the power struggle that we have every day. Before we go into the meat of what this is about, here are two questions that you really need to think about. How much do we really know what our kids are thinking, and what do kids think of us, the parents? By the way, am I going really fast? Okay, great. If I'm going fast, just put up your hand and tell me to slow down. I'm okay with that. All right, so here is one of the survey questions. I am successful when I get a career with a high pay. 1% disagree strongly, 40% disagree, 42% agree, and 10% strongly agree with that. So we have about half, pretty close to half, agreeing and disagreeing. So I think our kids are getting it, but some of them aren't. We'll look into that in a little bit. Next question. My parents think marks and academics are the most important contributors of a successful future. This is the striking part. If you look at agree and strongly agree, you have just about 65%. And in the next few slides, we're going to talk about why that is an issue. Let's talk about academics. So, more stats for you. My parents emphasized mostly on my academic and going to university. So, next slide. All right, so here's what the issue is. We have about 86% in grade 12 that agree with emphasizing academics. But more importantly, you have about 82% of grade 9s that are hearing that from their parents. And these are grade 9s that don't really, that haven't gone that far into high school yet. How much of that pressure is going into their education when they think that already about their parents emphasizing on academics and going to university instead of what their interests are and what they and what they want to do in life? Next question. Going to trade school, college, or working after high school is an option my parents are comfortable with. For those of you who don't know what trade school is, it's really just school that works on the trades. So things like plumbing, mechanics is another one, and etc. So more hands-on work, and it's more of a labor kind of work. Okay, so the stats show us that around 67% don't think that their parents are comfortable with that. And we're looking at about 74% of the grade 9s already know that their parents aren't okay with that. So the question is, are we really supporting what our kids want to do? Or do we just want them to go to university, what we want to do? Here's the academic versus applied. Okay, so there's two big streams in high school. I'm sure if your kids are in high school, I'm pretty sure all of them are. They should be doing their course selections, or they should have done their course selections last month. And the two biggest streams are academic and applied. And so academic is to go into university, and applied is to go to places like college or to trade school, or some of them don't even go to college, they just go work, right? Diploma, right? So it is okay to experiment and try a variety of courses. So for kids that, especially in grade 9, going to grade 10, it's very important to let them try things out. Because they themselves don't know what they want to do until they get into the courses and have a shot at what their interests are. So for myself, I did know, I was actually in that criteria where I needed to take all of the Asian six pack. So I took everything but business. And then I realized that in grade, like at the end of grade 12, I realized that I should have taken business because I don't even know what it is. And I feel very not as well-rounded as I should have been had I known what business was about. Because in life, there are things that are business-related, and you never know later on when business might come in handy. Right? As we've looked at those subjects, X, Y, whatever, and they had guys that went into different majors, switched out of different majors halfway or after first year, and you never know when you're going to need those again. Right? So the most important thing is to find interest, and throughout the high school career, to find their interest and what they're good at. Everyone is different in the ways they learn, apply their knowledge, and go where God wants them to be. Here's a little picture for you guys. So here's the driving point for this part. Your child's education is not a competition with other kids. Okay? And a lot of times I see this, especially with my experience with working with the more academic ones, they're always in competition with each other already. They don't need more pressure from you to compare them to your friend's kids if they're doing better in a certain course. They don't. Think about it this way. How would you feel if they compared you to other parents? Not that nice, right? Okay, so even being raised by same parents, kids would be different and will have different strengths and needs. So let's take a look at like Olympic athletes. Olympics just went by last month. And parents are kind of like the coaches. There's like six or seven different wide range of sports. And if we look at a figure skater, the coach for the figure skater is not going to be the same coach for the ski guys, right? Because the type of skills they need are different. Therefore, the type of training that they need are going to be different. And that goes the same for your kids, right? You may have two or three different kids, and each of those kids will be different. And what they need are going to be different, and what their strengths is going to be different. And it's to know what their strengths and needs are and go on from there. Okay? Even in the prodigal son, okay, the older brother versus the younger brother. The older brother, you know, did everything that looked good to the father, and the younger brother rebelled, asked for all the inheritance. They went their own separate paths, but they're raised by the same father. They have different reactions. They have different personalities and different strengths and different needs. Okay? You look at Cain and Abel in the Bible. One was selfish, defiant. The other one loved God. Esau and Jacob. Right? One was a hunter. One liked to stay at home. Mary and Martha. One was looking for to have a good impression with Jesus. And the other one was more focused to learn with Jesus. Okay? And lastly, as the Asian, very typical thing is the save face. And that is a very closed-minded approach now. At this day and age, I think for our kids' development is to not worry about face and to put your kid first. And however you look towards other people doesn't really matter. If your kids are that important to you, then face doesn't really matter. Okay, so now if you're going towards, okay, now I'm going to let my kids decide what they want to do. Let's look at their strengths and needs. Here are some programs in York Region that are available for them. Okay. So there is the arts program. Some of you already know Alex Mack. Huron Heights, UHS, and Westmount has these. They're focused on arts. So if your child is really into arts, dramatic arts, fine arts, all that type of stuff, music, that's the place to go. IB, okay, so internationally recognized diploma. So all the credits that they get will be internationally recognized, and this is offered at Bayview. Co-op is available at various schools, and then there's the Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program, which is funded by the Ministry of Ontario. So this allows the students to go and work towards what they want to do in their high school. So they're working with the industries that they want to work in, but they're also getting the credit for it. So it's kind of like co-op. International co-op education, so that's going abroad to do the co-op program and still get the credits. International languages, so not just the two or three languages that are taught at your schools, but more of the, so there are like Asian languages, South Asian languages as well, so if they're into that, great programs to have. Outdoor ed, available at various schools, part of their physical education program. Specialist high skills major. So this is also going into a working while they're in school to get the credits, but these work fields lead to where they're going to work later on. So there's a medical field, there's a culinary field, there are mechanics, so it depends on what the school is. So if you're interested in that, or if your kid's interested in that, find out which schools offer what program. Okay. High performance athletics. Okay, so these are training for the next level athletics. So kids who are competing at a competition level or representing the province or representing Canada into competing for their athletic program. So it depends on what school, what sport they're into. Okay, French immersion. For those who are into French, and special education, which I'll talk in the next slide. But all schools should have a special education department available for them. Okay, so this is something that was new to a lot of parents who immigrated here for the first time, because this wasn't that popular, but it's starting to gain a lot of traction in the province of Ontario. And basically, special education is a legally approved ministry program that cater education to the needs of the students. And each student is identified with either one of these four or more than one of these four. So it could be behavioral, physical, which includes vision and physical ability, disability. Communication, which includes autism, hearing, learning disability, language impairment, or intellectual, developmental disability, giftedness, and mild intellectual disability. So any student that has something that falls under this category will be included with a individual education plan. So this is something that the teacher and the principal have to suggest to the parents, or the other way around. Okay, and then because, like I said before, each student learns differently and have different strengths and have different needs as well. What this does is it levels the playing field for them. Okay, and it also gives them their own individualized education plan. So there are accommodations that can help them to overcome what their weaknesses are, and still achieve the same goal and the same level as other students who don't have the same identification. Okay? But one thing we need to remember is special education, should I go back to the last slide? Special education does not mean your child is stupid. Absolutely not. Okay? Because when we understand that each student will learn differently and have different strengths and needs, then do we understand that the mainstream test giving does not work for all kids anymore. even I can see a lot of you right now, I'm pretty sure a good one-third of you are not visual learners. One-third of you are not auditory learners. Okay, that's why 5 or 6 of you are falling asleep right now. But that's okay, because I understand. I only have like an hour and I'm trying to fit everything in, so I'm still trying to do... I mean, if I were to do this again, I would put more activities in, but this is my first time, so bear with me. Alright, so not a competition, going back to this. Alright, so what is the itinerary for your kids? Okay, so is it 30 credits finished in 4 years? Go to a well-respected university and get a job with high pay. Okay, that's pretty standard, I think, in a lot of mentalities for Asian parents and students. But is finishing high school on time really that important? Do we really have to finish in 4 years? Okay, like I said before, every student will work differently, and some may need more time. Some may need more time to find themselves, and when they're in high school, that's where they take that opportunity to try things and to make mistakes and to go into a program that they might not end up liking and switching, but they have a lot of time to make that decision. It's not a one-shot thing. Like those subjects that I talked about before, 2 or 3 of them went into one field and then they ended up going somewhere else. They still became successful. Okay, so like I said before, kids already feel the pressure from their peers. They don't need that extra pressure from you. Not at all. Alright, so another question that I gave them was, I feel great pressure from my parents to go into university and do well in high school. We have 75% that agree. Great pressure. And that is a huge issue. Why are we giving our kids so much pressure to go into do something that they don't want to do? They haven't even found out what their strengths and interests are yet. Some of them who are grade 12 might already know. Great. But there are also others who don't know yet. So now this becomes a, do you push as a parent, or do you just support them when they need to? So here's a balancing act that you need to know, but you won't know until you listen to your child. Okay, so it really comes down to communication, okay, and really talking to them. So how can you help? You want to be aware of your child's courses and how he or she is doing on a regular basis. So my parents are involved in my education. We have quite a bit, 60% that agree, and 16 strongly agree, so that comes up to about 76%. That's great. That's a great thing. Okay? But you also want to encourage your child to communicate regularly with his or her teachers. Okay? Right now there is about 63% that either rarely or never ask teachers for support or communicate regularly. I can tell you as a teacher, and as a teacher who talks to my colleagues, that students who have a regular communication time with their teachers tend to do better. A lot of things tend to get lost in translation. And until you have that time to communicate on a regular basis, there will always be miscommunication. And that goes for the parents as well. So, which comes to the next point where it says you should keep in contact with the teachers regularly as well. I know a lot of your students are probably pretty self-sufficient, but to stay, to keep in regular contact will give that edge for your child to know how your child's doing. Okay? Keep in mind that these teachers spend like 4, 5 hours a day with your child in a different situation. So your children may act differently at home than they do at school. And through these communication and contact with the teachers, would you know how your kids act at school when you're not there? And I think to a certain extent that's how they will act on a regular basis when they're away from home when they go to university as well. Okay? And to keep this as a habit for them to go and talk to their teachers, it actually transfers to when they go into post-secondary education. when there is an issue, they're comfortable then to go in to talk to their professors or their instructors in clarifying things or even advocating for themselves in the future. Okay, you need to advocate for your child in times of need. So even as little as disagreeing with a mark that they get, sometimes, hey, your kids might have a bad day, right? And it just might so happen to, I'm not kidding, it just might so happen to be on a test day that they have a bad day. Who knows? But you need to go and advocate for them. Okay? Parents are one of the, I got you, don't worry. Parents are one of the most scariest things that teachers are afraid of. And I'm telling you as a teacher, because I do not want to deal with an angry parent, because that is scary. And from personal experience, some of those have gone south really fast. So go and talk to your child's teacher and try to get more of an understanding on things that maybe missed assignments, tests that haven't gone well. And you can always ask for a redo. Okay. And there's always second chances. So at least in your region, I don't know about Toronto, but I hope Toronto does too. Question?
Harder to get in touch with them. Usually the only chance you talk to them is after the teacher-parent meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always behind the schedule, and you're rushed by the next beside the door. And when I left the message, the teacher said, oh, I'm going to call you, like, after March 14th. That was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the parent who doesn't want to talk to them. It matters. Like, at 3 o'clock, they just go to rush to pick up their children. And sometimes I met them in the yard, and they said, oh, no, you cannot come in because you need to make an appointment. I mean, who are you? You're a doctor? Doctor, you cannot make an appointment. But even a teacher, it's barely a chance for you. I don't know whether it's common in the York District Board, but that is how it happened.
I totally understand that. There are three things you could do. Two things. Because teachers rarely check their voicemails, rarely. Email is a huge one, okay? Because in a technologically savvy age that we are now, I would say usually all teachers check their email maybe like 4 or 5 times a day, at least. Okay, and then if you still can't get a hold of that teacher, I would advise you to go and talk to the principal. And once you talk to the principal, that teacher will be scared. Yeah.
To talk to the teacher because I don't know how my son will feel. I don't want to make him stand out to the teacher. That's why I contact the principal for some issue. But the principal, my experience is say he reply me say you should initially talk to the teacher first. So end up I did talk to the teacher, but. I don't want to make my son feel bad because he has no problem, but I just want to get to know more about what's going on in the school and in the class, because sometimes I get some not really good feedback from my son about the teacher. And then my son came back saying, the teacher talk to you is a different way to the student in the class. So I just don't know, I maybe is, as a parent, I just don't know which side I should go. I should let him on his own with the teacher how to deal with the issue, or I should be more involved.
I think
to solve the problem.
I think there needs to be a better form of communication that you and your child need to have, and establish that first. And and then once you have an understanding that it is going to happen. So that you are going to talk to the teacher, and he's going to have to learn to accept the fact that you will be talking to the teacher, because you are the parent, and he needs to understand that you have to be part of that education, and that later on as the years goes, I don't know what grade your son is.
Grade 8.
Okay, great. Grade 8, lots of time. Okay, so each year you can just go, you know what? Each year you're going to take a step back, because he's going to eventually have to learn to advocate for himself too. So if he has problems, he needs to talk to the teacher directly, but you're more of like a training wheel at this stage. So each year you will take one step back and do less and less. And until maybe grade 12, it's going to be all him. But as for now, as grade 8, you both need to have the understanding that you are going to be there to ask questions. And all three, you, child, and the teacher, have to have that three-way communication that's going on. Okay.
Is it normal grade 9 student parents still involved?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Actually, those students tend to do better when there's an issue. So because the communication is already open, nobody is afraid to communicate with each other. Right? But when you're waiting for an issue to come up, then that becomes your initial communication, then chances are it's going to be too late, and then you're going to have to play catch up. Right? So when there's an issue with, let's say there's a missed assignment, but if you've already had ongoing communication, you wouldn't really be playing catch up because you already know in advance. Right? So teachers really do encourage you to communicate more often. But you really have to have that second part of communication, which is with you and your child, established before that. Okay? Now, I understand that you're a little bit like, my child really wants to do this on his own, and I don't really want to be a part of it. That's fine, but do know that kids do lie. They are big liars sometimes. And they will keep things from you that you won't know until, like, it really gets really big, and then there's no going back. Well, there is. There's always a going back. But until it gets really big, then you find out, it will be too late. Really. And you want to start early so that the lying wouldn't happen as much. And they probably won't appreciate it now, but when they get later on after they finish high school, they'll see why. And they'll see the why it's good for them.
I think as a parent, the feedback, we cannot every day check.
No.
Check, right?
Yeah.
But my first feedback would be from the report card.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the structure is the report card is the first report card, there's no mark. It's just like.
It's a number.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a level, like
to
1 to 4,
as
right?
As a parent, I don't feel that it's really useful.
Mm-hmm.
And then not until really almost half of grade, I'm talking about elementary. February, I get the first mark report card.
Mm-hmm.
I find it's pretty late, and then I realize, oh, certain things I thought it'd be good, but end up it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start to contact the teacher, and all kinds of communication, I find out what's going on. I find it's really late to know the truth,
mm-hmm.
and only 2 months or 3 months, and then finish the school. And then by the time the speech teacher will say, okay, we will work closely. And then after 1-2 months, end up it's not.
Yeah, no.
it's kind of too late to do something.
And that happens, but it also goes back to the email, why the email is so important, is it's such an easy thing to do, is you just shoot an email with a question, how's my kid doing? That's all you need to do. And they will give you maybe a 1 or 2 liner, but at least you know at that time. You don't even have to wait for the midterm report cards.
I get the
email. Or the intro, yeah.
And then end up I get the first meeting, the teacher said he didn't get the email. And then he apologized, or something called the email go to somewhere.
I think you need to be more persistent in getting in touch with this teacher.
Once I send the email, I should follow up.
Yeah.
Why didn't get the email?
Yeah, some teachers aren't that good with communication, but really, I think you need to be a little more persistent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if my daughter is actually thinking, I don't trust her because I wanted to be a teacher?
Really goes back to communication. Really need to be really straight with her on why you're doing things, and she really just needs to accept that it's going to happen. Right. Well, it is your job as a parent to know what is going on in your child's education.
He just told me back and she said, hey, look at the mark, I'm okay. Why would you want to be a teacher?
You need to tell her why.
I wanted to know whether you're doing awesome, beyond okay, and interesting.
All right, let's move on. We're never gonna finish. All right, so
We're almost at this point.
Okay, so now we want to put focus on social aspect of your child's life, but more importantly on their spiritual life as well. Okay, so that goes on to our social part of our topic today. Social. So parents are the most important or influential people so far in their lives, generally speaking. Okay, I have a good relationship with my parents. A good majority say that they do. Okay, so that's great news that I'm hearing. And I can talk to my parents when I'm having troubles. We're looking at about 72%. That's really good. Okay. For those who are not talking to your kids, you really need to work on that. Also, importance of friends and social life. I would say that each kid is very into what their friends are doing, and peers are one of the most important. Beside parents, peers are one of the most important group of people that they rely on and that they learn a lot from. Okay, so I feel that my parents care about my social life. We have a good number that agree. I think I have a mistake in one of the numbers. I think one of them should be a 6 and not 26. My fault on that one. Okay, classes and activity. Are we spending too much time on classes? How many hours of classes and activities per week do you put your kids in? Here are the numbers. And the most striking thing are 10% of grade 9s participate in 16 or more hours of classes and activities per week. What do they have time for if they're doing that? Like, what? How much time are they going to be doing their homework? Right? How much time are they spending time with their friends, spending time with God, spending time with you? Right? And they really have to, and it's part of your job at this point to balance their time as well. But there is a good sign though, because overall these classes and activities match their interests, and most of them say that they do. Next. Yeah. So, although they do fit their interests, we still need to make sure that we balance their time properly. Okay, proper time management is a very important skill that they need as they go on in high school and into post-secondary. Okay, church friends or school friends? That's a huge question. If you ask your kids, do you have more school friends or more church friends? Answers may vary, but don't take that as the church friends are going to be the good ones, because sometimes the church ones aren't the good friends. The ones that are positive influences sometimes, or most of the times, are school friends. Okay, so you have to understand that kids that go to church with your kid, some of them aren't really mature enough to make good decisions either, right? So that's why parents are really important in that role as well. Okay, so I have close Christian friends who I lean on when I'm struggling with issues in life. We have a good percentage of both grade 9s and the higher high school kids that they do have people they can lean on, so that's a good thing. Okay. And as they get older, they'll start to filter these people in who's the one that they really can rely on and can be good community with, and be someone that they can keep accountable and that can keep them accountable as well. Okay, and at the end of the day, we want to build our kids to be people of responsibility and character, to be socially adaptable to work environments. Okay, so the work environment is, in fact, the most social place for anybody who's working. Right, we spend 40 plus hours there each week. And these are people that we barely even know. Maybe you know your coworkers more, right? But as your child gets to a time where he or she needs to go and find a job and go and interview for a job, this is all socials these are all social skills that they need. So, but without frequent social interactions with others, a child cannot build the skills to be social. So those classes that we're putting them into, really have to think about how social they are. I'm sure a lot of them are with other people as well, and they can work on their social skills. but how much time are they spending with their friends, with you, and how much time are they spending with God? That's the question. Okay, I'm just going to rush through this. Spiritual. All right, so my parents emphasize spiritual growth more than academics. This is good because 62% agreed. Okay, so you know what? You guys are doing something right, but there's also 38% that are disagreeing with that. Okay, so things that they might be emphasizing on are marks and going to school, doing well there. I think it is okay to miss church or fellowship and have a test or assignment due. Majority of them disagree, so they understand the importance of them being in fellowship and fellowshipping with their peers. My parents think it's okay to miss church or fellowship and have a test or assignment due soon. And parents are pretty much along the same lines. So that's good. Parents should encourage participation in school Christian fellowships. Here is one question that I asked them. Parents should encourage... Fellowship is important to me, and we have a huge 92% that agree that fellowship is important to them. Whether or not it's they feel that it's something that they can grow spiritually in, or it's just a place to socialize with their friends, it's still important. Okay? And if it's important to them, it should be important to you as well. I've had an experience with this one student who, he's in grade 12 in his last year. He's going to university next year. So there was a retreat that was coming up, and I knew that a bunch of those grade 12s, and he's best friends with them, they're all going. Mom wouldn't let him go because he needs to practice piano. So what the mom didn't understand was, by him missing that weekend, he's missing a weekend that's more than a weekend. These are social times that he's not going to get back when he goes to university, when he separates with his friends that he's close with, and these are times that he's not going to get back with the friends. Okay? And when the friends come back and talk about how fun that retreat was and how much time they spent together, he's going to be sitting on the side by himself in disappointment, listening to the stories that he was not able to participate in. Okay? And sometimes, really, look, if you look at the big picture for his growth, as a person, that piano lesson probably wasn't that important in the big picture. So it's important to look at the big picture. Serving at church is something that we can encourage our kids to do as well. Personally, when I was in high school, I did a little bit of serving, and then when I went on to university, I didn't participate in any fellowship or anything, but as I was continuing to serve, the leaders there kept me accountable and continued to teach me about God as I was leading and as I was serving as well. So even when I didn't have a place that I belonged, I felt that where I served was a place where I belonged and where I had my community in. And that's where I grew the most. And a lot of students are serving in high school now. As I work with high school worship team, and I work with those kids that are growing there, they do tend to grow a lot spiritually as they serve others as well. Okay? And through their service, they understand what it was like for Jesus to serve, right? And to walk in Jesus' feet as well. And one of the most important things, our family prayer, sharing, and devotion time. This was the question that I gave them, and a whopping half said that their parents and their families rarely have this devotional time together. And the question that I want to ask you is, how much are you modeling good faith practice? How much are you modeling how you want your child to follow God. Right? And if we don't practice that, your child is going to follow what you're doing and take that to with them as they go into post-secondary. When you're not there, that's what they're going to be doing as well. So if you're not doing this, chances are they're not going to be doing it. And it does start with the parents to initiate it too. Okay, so in Proverbs 22:6 it says, train up a child in the ways that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we need to train in the ways of the Lord and not our ways. And we need to raise our kids not as what we see fit, but as how the Lord, how God sees fit. But remember that God gave us the kids to raise, and they're his children. Okay. Ultimately, God's plan for each of your kids are going to be different. And we want that to be going back to where God's plan is. Okay. Fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up with training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. I know I've talked a lot about, you know, you should give your kids a lot of space and a lot of ways to go, but that doesn't mean you don't discipline them. If they are not doing what they're supposed to be, they're not doing the right thing, we really need to discipline. Okay, but in a loving way. I remember getting beat like a million times by my dad and my mom when I was a kid, and it was not good. Psychologically, it's not good for your kid, and emotionally, it's not good for them. So we want to discipline our kids in a loving way, in a way that promotes positive reinforcements, and we don't want to promote negative reinforcement. Okay. Studies have been made, and things that I've studied in school was positive reinforcement is the number one way for a child to learn in a positive way and to remember the things that they've done well. Okay. Things that they should be doing, the positive reinforcement, next time they'll remember that. You know what, I had good reinforcement, so you know what, I'm going to make that good decision that I did this last time. And you really want to tell your kids you love them. Okay, I know it is a Chinese taboo word. Nobody in the Chinese families like to say that to their kids. And but the more we try to break that barrier, the easier it'll be for us to tell our kids that we love them. Because I know all of you do, but a lot of times parents show that they love them by giving them more discipline and more hard work and, you know, making their kids do more things and put them into more classes and giving them nice things. But in reality, it's all you need to do is tell them you love them. Right? And be encouraging to what they're doing and supportive. As parents, we need to model faith and trust God to provide rather than focus on our selfish ambitions. So, in summary, I know I talked a lot of stuff, and we... Oh, man, I really went over time. Give me, like, 5 more minutes. Take advantage of resources at school. So I gave you a bunch of resources that if your child has questions or if you have questions on where they're going to go later on. The OSCA website looks through the whole career path. The OSP website also does the same thing. Okay. In fact, the OSP website, the IPP, and the OSCA all kind of plans what your child would be good to do when they're going into post-secondary. So it kind of tells you what courses they should take, what kind of programs they should be going into based on their interests and their strengths. Okay. And you can also look on the board website if you're with the York Region Board, on what kind of programs there are. Those programs that I talked about maybe like 20 slides ago, you can look further into that. I got everything from that website anyways. And right now, if your child is in grade 11 or 12, maybe it's a good time, especially in March break, that they have time to go and actually visit the colleges and universities that they might be interested in. Okay? That's a huge part of learning about which place is the best place to go, right? I'm pretty sure some of the grade 12s are receiving acceptances and they don't really know where to go because they're all really good. Then that's the time where they need to go into their campuses and look at what's available to them, what kind of campus fellowship there are for them, what kind of campus support there are for them as well. And last but not least, their guidance counselors are the best people to talk to. And feel free to go and talk to their guidance counselors as well, because they can tell you things that you may not know by talking to your kids. Like I said before, advocate for your child and stay engaged in their education. Provide good learning environments, social, emotional, and spiritual. Give them some extracurricular things to do, but not too much. So 16 plus hours is way too much. I'd say maybe about like 7 to 10 is okay. It's alright. And let them enjoy these years as a teenager and as a student. Okay? They are kids. They need to have their childhood too. Okay? And if they're always studying and always doing things that you want them to do, they're going to miss that childhood. They'll never get it back. Never. But more importantly, to grow spiritually into the direction of God's plan. Okay, so that's basically what my thing is about. But here are some questions you want to ask, okay, as you go back today or in the next little bit. Ask yourself these questions. Okay, what kind of talents does my child have? What is their personality like? What are their passions? What are they so passionate about? Right, what are my child's strengths and needs? And how can I better embrace my child's strengths while improving his or her needs? So these are some things you really want to think about in supporting their decisions on what they want to do in the future. Okay? So here are some words from graduates that I asked. I have 32 high school graduates that I've surveyed. Next slide. And the slide after. So two, yeah. And 25 of them are working or in grad school. 7 of them are in university. All of them have indicated that they have a personal relationship with God. 94% involved in church community, 60% on campus or have involved in campus Christian fellowship, 60% disagree that marks in high school determine success in post-secondary life. These are people that are working, right? So they've gone through what the high school routine is, and now they're seeing that most of them disagree that the marks determine what their success is going to be. 65% agreed that parental involvement in high school play an important role in post-secondary life. Okay. There are going to be some comments that you're going to see and how that's effective. 81% agree that it was easier to fall into temptations after high school. Okay. And these temptations go under a huge category of sex, drugs, alcohol, violence, you name it. 69% agreed spiritual relationship with God correlates with success in life. And that is a very good stat. Okay, so, two big questions that I asked them are, in what ways, the first one was, in what ways could parents have helped with your high school experience? I got one answer, was like this. My parents could have pushed me harder to work harder in school and to get involved more at school, and in the end, good marks will give you more choices for universities and programs you get accepted into, so that's a good thing. Moreover, getting involved at school with student council and other extracurricular helps build leadership skills and helps you network with people. Perhaps the relationship you build in high school will help you in the future. Okay? So this was a more relationship-based person that find it useful. I think not falling into the society's norms that my parents pushed me into would have helped me. Okay? I do wish they encouraged me to try more new things. Same question. This person felt that the parents could have helped them by encouraging them more. Actually saw potential in me, less emphasis on marks and more emphasis on the person as a whole. It would have been a lot better if they recognized my strengths and encouraged development in those areas. For example, if I'm not good at science, don't force me to take all science courses in hopes of me becoming a doctor. Give me insights from a biblical perspective on how to deal with certain experiences in high school. I find a lot of parents don't really talk to their kids about the spiritual aspect of things and how to deal with issues in a godly way. And I think that's something that we could take a look at and change our approach to as well, right, for the better. To be more accepting and open to decisions and choices I made, trusting God to lead me on the right path. Is that telling me I need to go? Okay. I'm almost done. I'm seriously almost done. They could have asked, or they could have said, marks don't define a person. You can earn a living doing anything you love. Parents should encourage and find help for children to obtain proper time management skills, self-discipline and motivation, and proper sleep schedules. Yeah, high school kids don't sleep now. To not be so strict in high school, having no freedom in high school and much more freedom in post-secondary education may result in some crazy times. And encourage me to join the church fellowship to really build up a strong foundation before university. Alright, so my second question that I asked them was, in what ways could your parents have prepared you for your post-secondary ventures? So it would have helped a lot to know what I would be expecting, for example, the workload and how to study smart. I didn't do well in my first year and second year. I finally learned how to handle the workload and how to study at university level starting in third and fourth year. So basically building them with the right tools to get to that level. My parents have always encouraged me and pushed me to do my best in all areas of life. I think learning about how to interact with people really helped me in life in general. Okay, back to the social piece. Okay? Important. Previously talking about challenges that I could potentially face while entering university, i.e. academic, social, and spiritual, and addressing particular temptations prior to entering university, helping encouraging getting set up with an out-of-town church sooner than later. As I was talking to these people that took the survey, a lot of them talked about a key common theme was the temptations that they tend to fall into when they get to university. With all the freedom that they have, they tend to, you know, get that temptation seem to be there, and it's always there lurking at the door, right? But how do we help them, right? How do we train them, and how do we encourage them in high school to have that ability to resist those temptations and go back to the Word? That is the question, right? How do we do that? Right? Recognizing that I am an adult and not just their child, giving me the room to grow into a young adult with my own responsibilities and decisions, knowing that they are here for me and supporting me in prayer when I need. Support me no matter what I choose, not what they want me to do, even if our definitions of success are different. Being open and talking to me throughout the transition, not just being judgmental, so that I feel that there is a safe, open environment for me to discuss anything with them, which mine did, so I'm super thankful, with a smiley face. And last few ones, let us make our own mistakes and learn from them. I think as parents, it is one of the hardest things to do is to like see your kid fall into this hole. And like you see that hole there and your kid's falling into it and you're not really doing anything about it. But sometimes when your kid falls into that hole, he or she will find a way to come back out of it. And we need to let that go. And especially when they get into grade 12 and their adult years, those are the years that they need to learn and develop those skills to climb back up. Parents can only offer advice and suggestions and love. Got to treat students and post-secondary as adults. More support with spiritual life, did not feel like I was welcome or fit in a Christian fellowship in university and a church near my campus, whereas I had no problems with that in Agape and RHCCC. Okay. I'm not trying to pitch this as we're an awesome place.
Oh, sure.
It was nice, though. The last thing that I want to say to you is the most important thing is your child's relationship with God and going where God wants him or her to go. Right? There's no way for us to know that if your child does the entire Asian six-pack, gets 99s, have super social skills, goes and studies to become a doctor, that he or she will become, actually stay as a doctor, right? Because God will change the path. But it's the parent's job to accept the fact that God will provide and trust that God will provide for them and lead into God's plans and not the plans that we want. And my parting shot for you is, by being engaged in all aspects of your child's life now, will build them up for a successful life in God's eyes, in your eyes, and in their own eyes. And when you disengage them to real life, they will be ready for anything.